Our scripture reading is Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord of our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of God.
Good. Well, good morning. Now I'm on. You can hear me now, right? Again, if I haven't met you, my name's Jim. I'm one of the pastors here. And I'll lead us in what Joyce just read for us from Psalm 90 this summer. For the next 10 weeks or so, we'd like to look at various psalms, mostly through the summer. We'll have a series through various psalms. And today we come to this beautiful prayer of Moses. But before we do, let's pray and ask for God's help that he would speak to us. So please pray with me. We do bow before you, our Lord and our God. We thank you for this gift of Psalm 90. As we come to it now, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would lead us, that you would show us the wisdom and the life found in these words. We need you. We need you to even focus our minds and our hearts. I pray, God, for each of us, that you would give us eager hearts to receive your truth. That you take away distractions. That you give me a clarity of thinking and speaking. That this time would be life-changing for each of us. We thank you for the hope of Jesus Christ, and we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, as we come to the Bible again this morning, as we do each week, we understand the Bible as God's communication to us, right? The Creator is speaking, and so we understand Scripture as being the most coherent, comprehensive, and realistic explanation for our lives, for everything that we experience. So coherent, comprehensive, and realistic. By coherent, I mean it's consistent, it's unified. We can look at all of Scripture and it all fits together. It's comprehensive, it's complete, it's total. It addresses every major aspect of our lives, and it's realistic. As we study God's Word, it makes sense of our experience. It makes sense of our lives. So we come to Psalm 90, we come to this ancient prayer of Moses, and here we have Moses wrestling with the shortness of life, the certainty of death, and this human longing for significance. I mean, how cool is that? Moses, this ancient figure in Scripture, wrestling through as he prays these common, these great human struggles, shortness of life, our fragile lives, aging, dying, sickness, finding significance in our lives, finding meaning, purpose that will last. We have Moses, as he prays, struggling through these things, and he's able to end his prayer with this confidence, with this expectation that he and we can find satisfaction in our lives, that we can find gladness, that we can even live with this sense of favor over us, and that we can end our days with our work being established. We can find true and lasting significance. I do think, as I prayed, Psalm 90 is such a gift to us. How is Moses able to walk through these dark facets of life, dying, aging, sickness, all these things, and then come out with hope? How is he able to do this? That's what we'll look at today. As we begin, I want to think about a few different categories of people, because I think we, and different ages, approach these things very differently, right? So if you're young, and you can decide what category you're in here, if you're young, we come to Psalm 90, and we're coming to the wisdom of Moses. This wise sage, in a sense, is sitting before us, and he's putting before you, if you're young this morning, these certain realities. And one very important one is you will not live forever. In fact, it's not a guarantee that you will live long. Yes, death may be decades away for you. It may be, but it may also be days away for you. This is the reality of your life, of the world we live in. So Moses leads us to the real context of our lives, the fragile lives that we live. And he's able to lead us face to face with these dark facets of life, this possibility of death that's over all of us, and then end in hope. Or if you're older this morning, as you age, how do you cope with entering the next decade of life? All right, some of us close to 50, and that feels so old, or 60, or 70, or even 90. How do you cope with entering that next decade? Is it just a depressing thought? I can't believe I've reached my 60s, right? Or I can't believe I've reached my 70s, my 80s. Is it just something you're trying to push back? Just keep busy, keep active, and not think about it? Well, Moses has another approach, a very wise approach to aging. He's able to pray with great hope, even in old age, even facing death. And to all of us, this psalm speaks to all of us as Moses prays at the end that our work would be established. I believe he's communicating this human longing of significance. He's able to pray this because he's found freedom from the pursuit of significance, of establishing himself. And I think he has words of wisdom for us. So I'd like to look at this under three headings this morning. Three headings for us: our transient lives, the permanent God, and the way Jesus Christ leads us through our transience into eternal permanence. So our transient lives, the permanent God, and the way Jesus leads us through our transience into eternal permanence. So first, our transient lives. If you look at Psalm 90, the imagery is great here. In verses 3 through 5 specifically, Moses is describing our lives, and he gives four images at least here: dust, a sudden flood, a dream, and desert grass. So here is a description of your life. You are dust, easily swept away, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Those are the words often used at a burial service. And we are told here that God is the one who decides. All he has to do is speak. He says the word, verse 3, and return, O children of man, you return man to dust. Right? He says the word. This happens. This may not be the most positive thing we've heard about ourselves, but if this is true, if we are dust, and if we will return to dust, if this is our reality, then it's important that we know this. So Moses, in all of his wisdom, stands before us and he says, you are dust. We are made of dust. Our bodies are moving back to dust. Or the other image, like a flood. Your life can suddenly be swept away at any moment. And this is true for young and old. This is true for all of us, right? Maybe it's not a flood, right? That's the image he uses. Maybe it's a fire. Maybe it's a car accident. Maybe it's a sudden sickness. Moses is saying at any moment, something could happen completely out of your control and your life is over. I thought as I was thinking about this week, I thought back to a good friend, an older man in our last church. He was an elder in the church, a successful businessman, very strong man, who one day sat in his lazy boy, watching TV, fell asleep. His wife just thought he fell asleep. He had a heart attack, and she found him dead. In a moment. No one expected it. He seemed so healthy. This is, and Moses is right, this is what our lives are like. Or like a dream, and I think there's a lot of overlapping ideas here. Our lives quickly pass. Or maybe previous generations, as they think back on a life, it's like a dream. Like, do you even know the name of your great-great-grandfather? How do you understand their lives? It's so far away. It's so hard to even know what they were really like. Or lastly, desert grass. Desert grass. Bart read from James for us. It's the same image. We're not talking about Michigan grass in June, right? You go outside, it's beautifully green. We have to love the place we're from, right? I love Michigan springs and summers. That's not the grass here. This is desert grass. It springs up because of the dew in the desert in the morning, and it springs up like a person in all the youth of a 16-year-old kid, right? All the vigor and life. But Moses is saying, just so you know, your desert grass, before you know it, verse 6, you will fade and you will wither. So Moses is saying, this is human life. This is my life. This is your life. These images represent who we are. We are transient. Right? I know we each speak and think from our own context, and I know I've probably said this more than I should have lately, but this is how I think now as I am experiencing now for the first time children leaving home. Like, never thought the day would come, right? I still remember being on the floor. My daughter's first words, right? Eric talks about as a little girl. I think, that's me still. No, it's 18 years later. Now she's leaving the house. How is this possible? Right? At a certain age, we get sick of people. Before you know it, it's all going to pass, right? Time flies, right? We hear that when we're young and like, oh, come on. Until you get to the age and you start saying to people, before you know it, time flies, right? And you're like, wait, I'm that person now. We understand this if we're a certain age. But the beautiful part of this psalm is that Moses is speaking to all of us. You might think, I don't think about this at all. I'm so young. My whole life is ahead of me. This is our universal experience. This is true of all of us. We might start to feel it more as we age, but this is true, and Moses wants us to step into this. He wants us to sit in this. He wants us to see, yes, at any moment I could die. This is who I am, who we are. From dust to dust, this is reality. So the first point under our transient lives is Moses is just leading us to sit in this. Right? At any day, at any moment, this could happen. And we have to see this. We have to live in this. So he wants us to sit in this transience and sit in this fragility. He wants us to know that this is true because he's going to take us somewhere, but we all have to see it, young and old. We have to see that this is possible. People have died at a very young age. Right? This happens, and he wants us to sit in it and know it. But he also wants us to see, as we continue in the psalm, verses 7 through 11, that the reason for our transience. So still under this first big point, our human transience, he talks about it, he gives us these images so that we feel it and we sit in it, all of us. But then he goes through the reasons, the core reasons for our transience. The reason there's death, the reason we're so weak, the reason we get old and die. If you look at verses 7 through 11, hear his answer. There's some words that repeat here. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath, we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So why is our experience like this? Why is death a possibility for any of us? Why do we live in this context of toil and sadness and trouble? What does Moses say? The anger of God, the wrath of God against sin. Death is a part of our experience, and death, in a sense, hangs over each of us. Because it's a visible expression, we have to get this, a visible expression of the wrath of God for sin. That's why we find ourselves in this position. Right? More will be said. Moses will lead us to, I think, another perspective of death that comes as we come to know God, as we grasp onto God as our dwelling place. He's going to shift that a little bit in us, but the reason it's in this world, the reason it's our experience, he's very clear, the anger of God, the wrath of God. And this is realistic, right? Some of us who grew up in the 90s can go back to the Lion King and the Elton John song, The Circle of Life, and we're told that, you know, dying makes room for living, and that's just good, like superficial help at best, right? And if you get the diagnosis or someone you love gets the diagnosis, it doesn't feel like death makes room for life, right? That's not a coherent, comprehensive answer. This is. Death is here because of our sin. And sin, right? Sin has led God to respond, we could say, in wrath and anger because he's a holy God. So yes, this seems negative. And to be honest, sometimes I have read this at this church, my previous church. There's a members meeting. Maybe we're moving into a new building. I love starting with Psalm 90, all these beautiful verses. But to be honest, sometimes I skip over verses 7 through 11, right? You read Psalm 90, it's amazing. And until you get to these, like, what do you even do with these? Well, I think I stand corrected after studying this week. I don't think we can skip over these verses, because when we see the reason for our transience, it's only as we see the reason for this death hanging over us that we will then have hope, gospel hope, because of how God responded to this. How Jesus stepped into the anger and the wrath of God. How Jesus received the punishment for our sins. How Jesus went through death, stepped in the grave, we could say, and stepped out of the grave, that then we can find the hope that Moses has here. Getting ahead of myself, though, that's the third point. But I think it helps as we consider our transience. We need to sit in it. It hangs over all of us. It's a part of all of us, right? It's here because of sin. But Moses leads us, point two, then the second heading, to permanence, by looking to the permanent God. Look at verse 1. Here's how he starts his prayer. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. So dwelling place is a safe place, a hiding place, a place of stability, of help, of refuge, as Randy prayed, right? The hen with her wing over her chicklets, protection, refuge. Lord, you have been our place of safety, stability, and help and protection. In all generations, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You're always there, God, and you're always there, in a sense, offering us refuge and help. The everlasting God. The God for whom 1,000 years in his sight are but as yesterday. The God who brought forth the mountains. You see the grandeur of the mountains, the power, right? The stability. He brought them forth. He birthed them is the word. This God, this permanent God, is our dwelling place. So we see the contrast of our transient lives, our fragile lives, and the permanent God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. As many of you know, we go to Ecuador once a year for a mission trip, and I know I've mentioned on one of our first trips, we went whitewater rafting. And in Ecuador, sometimes it rains a ton. So a bunch of novice, some of us have never whitewater rafted before, go out on this river, tons of rain the previous week or so. These are like the most intense rapids ever, right? So we find ourselves in boats, it's just crazy stuff. And a number of us fall out of the boat. And I still remember falling out of the boat and just being terrified as I'm going quickly down the river, right? And I think that's a good picture of life. Floating down, right? All these rapids, all these rocks under, you can't see anything. It's all white water. You can't see anything. You have no idea what's going to happen. Our lives can feel like this so often. We are vulnerable. We are weak. We're transient, right? Fragile. As we age, we can feel, what's around the corner? What's the next sickness? What's the next thing I'm going to face? We can feel that as we age, as we grow older, as death comes closer. As we raise our kids, we can feel this. As we walked with loved ones and friends who have received that diagnosis, who are in hospice, we can feel we're just floating. There's no stability here. We feel that we are from dust to dust. Well, if you know the landscape of Ecuador, it's a beautiful place. Along the river, there are these huge slabs of rock sometimes. Huge slabs of stability. And so as you're floating down the river, thankfully, everyone on our team was rescued and we were taken to the side and we were placed on those rocks of stability. We were placed there. None of us died, right? We found security. We found a refuge. We found, we could say, a dwelling place. And that's what Moses is saying. As you live your life and you feel all the instability, it's true, it's right. At any moment, we could die from dust to dust. This is who we are. But the Lord is there. He's the permanent one, and he is our dwelling place. He says, come to me, hold on to me, stand fast on me, and I will lead you to permanence. I will be your dwelling place. And whatever you face as you grow old, as death comes closer, as you feel the instability of life, find in me permanence and security. In me, the God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Cling on to me. Stand upon me. So what does this look like? It means we trust in a God who never changes as everything around us changes. It means we trust in him as we send kids out to home. We think, we never thought this day would come. We trust in him, the one who gives us each day, the one who perfectly orders our lives. We trust in him. We know and we will look. We'll look at more of this at a second, but that day of our death is not the final day. The human experience of death has been forever changed by the one who came and entered death for us. So we live with hope. And we know that we can find meaning in our life, even in the face of certain death, even when that accident happens, even when that news comes, there is stability and permanence in our God. So let's look at that third heading. The way Jesus leads us through our transience into eternal permanence. And that word through there, I think, is so important. Jesus leads us through our transience into permanence. So Moses, as he talks about these dark realities of aging, death, insignificance, speaks in covenantal language, we could say. So we look at verse 14. He uses the phrase of steadfast love. That's deep covenantal language. Or even in verse 16, twice, your work, O Lord, and your glorious power are covenantal themes and ideas. So by saying covenant, it means God's commitment, his promise to have a relationship with us. Moses knew God, he knew God's promises, he knew that God promised this relationship, that God moved towards people to offer himself as their dwelling place. So Moses knew that there was hope, and he could pray as he ends this psalm in verses 12 through 17. He could pray these requests with great confidence. He's leading people to pray this. We're to pray with expectation. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that even though we're transient, even though we're dust to dust, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands. He can pray this with confidence because he knew God, he knew God's promises, he knew God's commitment to relationship, and he was looking forward to the one who would be the yes and amen of every promise. Jesus is the one, right? This is not just like bringing Jesus into the psalm. Jesus is the one who fulfills every promise and all of Moses' longings fulfilled in and through Jesus. Because yes, sin did enter the world, and death is here because of sin, because of God's anger and wrath. But in the fullness of time, Jesus stepped in too. And he came to bear the wrath and anger of God for us by going to the cross, by receiving the punishment, the just punishment of God. He stepped into our transience. He stepped into our weakness. He stepped into our dust-like nature so that he can sympathize with us, yes. Whatever we face, as we age, as we grow old, as the death comes out of nowhere, yes, he can sympathize with us. But he also has come to be our forerunner and our guide, to lead us through death to our everlasting dwelling place, so that Paul could write, after he talks about all that Jesus has done in his death and resurrection, he could talk about death in a very different way. Oh, death, where is your victory now? Where's your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Yes, he says the sting of death is sin. Agreeing with Moses, death is here because of sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory now through our Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we still face it. Yes, we live in this context still. But Christ has entered the story. Christ has entered our transience. He has entered death, entered the grave, so that we can be people who hold on to the permanent God. And we can live with expectation of God's favor, as Moses prays, of knowing God's steadfast love, that we would be glad all our days, that even our works would be established. Jesus is the one who leads us through our transience into permanence. Jesus is the one who tells us again and again in Scripture, do not fear whatever you're facing. Do not fear. Do not fear. He's the one who promises life even through death. And he is the one, this beautiful section of John 14, where he's preparing to leave his disciples. Listen to what he says to them. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's gone ahead to prepare this eternal dwelling place, I think we could say, for us. So we believe, even as we age and death comes closer, we believe in God, we believe also in Jesus, and we know, as C.S. Lewis so beautifully said, that there are far, far greater things ahead than any that we leave behind. Sure, we can long for those days where we just had a hop in our step and we could run down the road, and now I can't do that anymore. We feel the effects of aging a little bit slower, a little bit more bent over, right? All the sickness that comes, all the disease, yes, we feel that, but we know that we can trust in what Jesus says. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm preparing this place for you. I will bring you to myself. I will lead you to life forever. There are far, far greater things ahead than any we leave behind. What hope we can have as we enter our 50s and feel like, man, I'm so old now, 60s, 70s, 80s. No, I'm looking ahead to what Jesus is preparing for me. Jesus is the one who leads us through our transience into the permanence of our eternal dwelling place. Let's close by just looking at two phrases from this psalm. Two phrases that I hope will help us drive home what this psalm is doing for us. First, verse 12, teach us to number our days. And then in verse 17, the phrase that is repeated, establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So first, teach us to number our days. Verse 12. What do you think that means? After our time in Psalm 90, what does that mean? Teach us to number our days. How do we pray that? How do we take that into our lives and pray that to our God? I think it would be praying things like this. Help us, Lord, to know our days are numbered. Maybe it's 5 days for me. Maybe it's 500. I don't know. Maybe it's 5,000. But Lord, help me to know that I live in this place of transience. You know, maybe I'm 15, but still, 5 days, we don't know. My life is fragile. Help me, Lord, to know that my days are numbered. Even though sometimes I feel like I'm just going to live forever, help me to know that this is reality. It's foolish to think that I will live forever. Help us, both young and vigorous and old and frail, to see our fragility and transience so that we move towards you more and more, clinging unto you as our everlasting dwelling place. And I think, you step back and look at Psalm 90, seeing things as they really are, this realistic picture of life and this realistic picture of our transience and fragility, is to do something. And the fact that it doesn't do something in all of us is actually crazy. Right? We may in our culture now be able to put death to the side and not see it a lot, but it happens. It touches us all. Why does God have us live in a world where it's like this? I think it's meant to lead us to repentance. And the fact that our transience and our frailty does not lead to repentance just doesn't make sense. If we see things accurately, it should drive us to our rock, drive us to our God. There's a great, in Adoniram Judson's, I think we have one young man named after him. Adoniram Judson was an American missionary to Burma, which is modern-day Myanmar. And Judson, a remarkable man, sacrificed so much for the cause of Christ, took a boat like around the world to this place, faced great sickness, all to spread the love of Jesus. But before he left to do that, he was a party animal. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus. He just wanted to live his life. Didn't care about the things of God. One person said he lived a reckless and vagabond life. He wanted to party. He wanted to enjoy life. He didn't want to get too serious about religion until he was staying in an inn. And in the next room, the whole night, he heard the dying cries of one of his best friends. He couldn't sleep the whole night because he heard this good friend who was living a similar vagabond life. He heard his dying cries throughout the night, and God used that in him to help him to see his transience, his fragility, and drive him to repentance and drive him to find in Jesus a dwelling place, a refuge. Teach us to number our days. It's a prayer that we'd see that our lives will end. So think about this. How do you live in light of your transience? Do you live with the wisdom Moses points us to here? Do you live for what matters, that what will matter on into eternity. Young, old, it doesn't matter. We're all in the same sphere of transience. Do you live focused on what is permanent? As you wake up each day, where is your focus? What is your goal? Right? You've heard it said before, if you had 1 month to live, how would you live? How would that change how you live? Well, I think that's what Psalm 90, the wisdom of Psalm 90 is. We will not live forever. So what should our days look like? What should they be marked by? What should our focus be? Teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Not teach us, Lord, to lengthen our days to see how long we can live. No, teach us to understand our frailty, that the end will come, that we may walk in wisdom. And then lastly, verse 17. This phrase, establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. What is this request? I think Moses is sharing the common human struggle of significance. Lord, make my life matter. Establish my name, my life. I think if we go back to the whitewater rafting story, I think we can picture it like this. We're going through life. Life feels like we're in the rapids, floating, solo, all alone, uncertain, right? And in Ecuador, there are these rocks that stick out of the water, maybe 5 feet, 10 feet, even 15 feet. And if you're floating down the river, you can get on one of those, and maybe it feels like you're secure. It feels like you found stability on one of those rocks. The problem is it keeps raining in Ecuador, and the water can rise and rise and rise. All of a sudden, that rock is covered. If you stay on that rock, it does not provide lasting security. And I think it's so easy for us, so easy, to think if we finish this degree, or if we find this job, or we get to this certain income, or that we find this spouse, or we have these kids, that we look to these things for establishing our significance, for living a life of meaning and purpose. The problem is the water always rises. Death always comes. And what will last as those waters rise? What will provide significance? Only the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, our God. Only the one who is permanent. We must look to him. We must find our joy, our gladness, our significance in him. So what does this mean? We'll bring this to a close. What does this mean? If you're in school right now training, getting equipped for a career, does this mean you just leave everything and go to Burma, become a missionary? It doesn't mean you become a pastor, right? This is the only option. No, not necessarily, right? Maybe you should consider that, but not necessarily. It means that you do not place all of your significance in your success, in your future income, in your career accomplishments, in your family. You may have great success. You may make a ton of money. But that will not establish you. That will not establish you, right? This is a danger for all of us, right? You start a church. This resonates with me. You start a church. It's so easy to place your significance if the church has even just survives, right? An inkling of success. Here's where, now I matter. Now I'm significant. Now I've done something. But you go from thing to thing, your children and how they succeed, where they end up, right? Your career. Our significance is found only in the God who is our dwelling place. He will gladden. He will satisfy. He will cause his favor to rest upon us, and we can live all our days with great hope and significance because of who he is. So yes, we can have success or not. Not much changes. Our eyes are upon him, and he is our dwelling place in all generations. I love Moses' wisdom here. He's realistic about our experience. He's realistic about our lives. And as we look ahead, we don't know what will happen. But even if the worst happens, there's still stability. There's still permanence. There's still God who is our dwelling place. So we can be, as Paul writes, steadfast. We can be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. He will establish the work of our hands. So let's close by reading these verses again, verses 12 through 17. May this be the prayer of our hearts. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days, all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Our Father, we pray that you would lead us in the way everlasting. As we here this morning who are young, I pray that the wisdom of Moses would come and help the young people here to see the fragility, the transience of life. And that this would drive each young person in this room to see the refuge, the security, the stability that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And for those who are older, Father, those who are in the midst of great trial and feeling the effects of aging, it's easy, Father, to become discouraged. It's easy as death seems nearer to give in to fear, Father. We pray that we would hear the words of Jesus, believe in God, believe also in me. I have gone ahead. I have paved the way to life everlasting. Help us to believe in that room that you have prepared for us. Father, for each of us, we pray that we would be satisfied in you alone. They would find our refuge in you, that you, Lord, will be our dwelling place from generation to generation. We thank you for this beautiful psalm. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.